Go ahead. Make my day.
It's the Gadget Grill on Radio 2 RDJ, 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Hi there, I am the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz. I'm driving.
No, you're not. You're behind the desk.
I'm behind the desk.
The car's in the car park.
I'm driving the studio.
Oh, right.
And sitting opposite me in the studio, in the other seat, occupying one of the other seats in the studio, none other than the faceplant kid, Jason Murray. Good evening. Hello, Jason.
Hi, how's it going? Wait, like, oh my God, I just fell over.
Yeah, there you go.
Something like that.
Yeah. I've been away for a couple of weeks, mate.
I've been away for a couple of weeks as well.
Okay, so I won't ask you what's happening on the show.
No, I've got no idea what's happening on the show, but we do know that the consistent thread through all of the episodes of the Gadget Grill for the time that we were away, Alex is not here. He's at a gig tonight. We thought we'd give him the night off.
Okay.
And I'm sure he's out enjoying that. So it is just the two of us.
Okay. Now, as we were walking into the studio, as we're coming in, you made note of the fact that there was a storm on the way.
Yes.
And I have just had an update from the deep, dark...
It's the fax machine, isn't it?
No. From the deep, dark jungles of Bondi in Sydney's East, where apparently it is hailing right now. Yes, if you're listening on Tuesday,
it's probably not.
It
that
may or it may not be hailing at the moment in Bondi. But if you're listening right now on Sunday, when we are live, which I believe is better than the alternative, then it is.
On the time delay.
Yes. Then it is hailing right now in Bondi. How's that for up to date weather information?
Well, I have to head back that way after the show. To go home.
Right.
It's been
a
couple of weeks, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So I went to Supernova in Melbourne last weekend.
Last weekend, you were in Melbourne. Has Melbourne survived?
Melbourne survived. I, however, did not because I came back with a con cold.
With a con cold, okay.
Yeah. So I have only just finished shaking that off today. And, occasionally I may collapse in a coughing fit during the show.
Okay,
I'm the member of the Gadget Grill crew most likely to do that as well, as it's happened a few times now.
Indeed you are. And we do have the paramedics on standby.
That's good.
The trouble is they are also in Melbourne.
Yeah.
They are on standby in Melbourne and it'll take them 3.5 hours to get here. By the time they get through customs,
I know. Why are they going out via customs?
It just seemed like a good idea at the time.
Oh, dear. Okay.
You got a better suggestion, mate?
No, mate. It sounds like we're getting the paramedics from New Zealand.
Well, they would be good too.
Yeah.
You know,
they might get here faster than the Melbourne ones at this point.
Well, you know, we don't have a very fast train service here, so if we had a very fast train service, then that would be quicker than actually flying to Melbourne, as you know.
I don't actually know.
You don't?
Because we don't have it, so it's all theoretical.
Well, it's not necessarily theoretical, because in places where there is a very fast train service, distances of up to about 600 or 700 miles, you know, up to about 1,000 kilometres, by the time you've got to go to the airport, check in, go through security, then, you know, they want you to wait for the flight, then you got to board.
Pesky thing of having to wait for your flight to turn up.
Yeah. Then you've got to, you know, sort of take your flight, you've got to land, you've got to find a gate for your plane. Then you got
to. I don't have to find the gate for the plane. The pilot does that for me.
That's what I said. Then you go to, then you got to go and wait for your luggage.
Actually, on that, I will just point out, when I went down to Melbourne last weekend,
yes.
I arrived, I was pretty much the last flight in to Melbourne, and they, of course.
They've closed the airports at last.
Yes, that's it's out, it's done. But I was pretty much the last flight in for the night, And they, of course, chose to park at the furthest gate possible from the baggage collection. So, like,
that's nothing to do with what
I had to walk the length of the airport, and everyone from the flight stood at the baggage collection carousel. There's nothing else going on. We are the only flight that has arrived at the airport, and after about 10 minutes of everyone standing around and nothing happening, they've just made a quick announcement. Oh, everyone who's just arrived on that flight from Sydney, your baggage is actually on a different carousel, not the one that is showing your flight number. It's like, guys, there's nothing else happening. Could you not have gotten that right? Really?
But that is very typical. We flew from Sydney to San Francisco. Then from San Francisco, very tired at the moment, especially the right arm and the left knee and the left wrist. They're all very, very sore at the moment. Then San Francisco to LA and finally LA back to Sydney. And in pretty much every single instance, the gate that we had was about as far away from where you enter the terminal as it could possibly be. When you fly into Houston, Houston used to be a sort of an H format, and you would fly into Houston at the bottom left-hand corner of the H. Then you would have to, if you're flying in internationally, you would have to go from the bottom left-hand corner of the H to the top right-hand corner of the H to go through immigration, then down to the bottom right-hand corner of the H for customs, and then back to where you started for your connecting flight. And you had half an hour to do that in, and it is a huge terminal.
That's what Houston the H stands for. Big. Yes.
H stands for.
We got there eventually.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Huge in Houston.
Well, it's Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas, mate. You should know that by now.
Why should I know that by now?
I don't know. Do you not know?
Maybe, I think
Do
I don't.
Do you not know that everything's bigger in Texas?
I think I need to go visit Texas.
Ah, I could play something by All My Exes Live in Texas, except for one minor detail.
You've already queued up a different song.
Well, two minor details. I also do not have anything by All My Exes Live in Texas.
That's probably the main problem, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the main problem is me, of course. But I did pick up a new guitar on the trip.
You did, yes.
I did. It is a Rickenbacker 330-12. And if you're a guitarist, you know what that means. In your case, of course, you haven't got a clue.
No.
But
Makes music-y things, right?
It makes music-y things, and it does have a reasonably special sort of a sound. A bit like the birds doing Mr. Tambourine Man.
Welcome back to The Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ, 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at radio2rdj.com.
Welcome back, indeed.
Is it GNU's time?
It is GNU's time, is yes. GNU's we have no GNATs, only GNU's. And with the storm going on, with the storm going on outside, you might want to get into your GNU and start growing. Kayak, kayak, kayak.
Mm.
Did you see what I did then?
No.
It was very bad.
I did not.
You're lucky. Jason, you're the one with all the GNUs that matters today.
I've got a few news stories. First of all, have you heard of this lovely thing called the General Data Protection Regulation Act?
I have indeed. It actually comes into effect at the about the 24th or 25th of May.
25th of May. It's actually going to be a fantastic birthday present for me because it's probably going to end up on the 26th here. But it is an EU regulation that is forcing a lot of companies to be a little bit more transparent about how they collect data about what you do online and what you do with your devices and what they do with it.
Right.
So what you will have noticed if you use Twitter recently is that Twitter recently updated their privacy policy so that they can function in line with GDPR. A lot of companies are choosing to take the EU regulation for it and actually implement it globally in order to better inform and protect customers. Also, probably they can't necessarily tell if someone's not in the EU, so they may as well do it globally. I've seen an update from Sonos this week. I've seen an update from Twitter this week. And there's a report on the internet that someone's television just updated their privacy policy. It's a ULA. When they turned it on, it gave them a new user agreement that they needed to agree with. Now, look, this would have gone into the useless gadgets section, except it's actually kind of important because if you pay attention to what your online services are telling you at the moment, you'll be able to tell which of the services are actually acting responsibly with your data by updating their policies and telling you what's going on. And if you weren't sure if your device was collecting information about you, just wait until that that privacy policy update comes in and it tells you.
Right. It is very, very important, and you may have noticed that you are getting a lot of
policy update emails.
Twitter, Facebook, every
I meant to send you one the other day.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Just I need you to agree with my new privacy policy, please.
Right.
Cool, thanks. Disney has developed a new jacket.
A new jacket.
Yep, new jacket. You want the rest of the story. Okay, the jacket is called the Force Jacket. See, now it sounds cool, right? And it will interface with VR games and allow you to actually feel things that are happening in the games across your body. So if you're playing a fighting game and someone hits you, then you'll actually feel the impact.
This has been done before.
It's been done before in different ways, but having an actual wearable jacket that can do this for you, that is new, and hooking it up to VR games is new, since VR games didn't exist the last time this happened. But we've had Force feedback for a while. I think Nintendo did it possibly first, I'm going to say, and then Nintendo 64 with the Rumble Pack. But the idea of actually directing that feedback to the point at which you actually take an impact in the game, that is new.
Right. Okay. Next.
Next. Do you ever lose things?
All the time.
Not your brain, not your mind. I mean devices. Things that you pay money for and you're like, I wish I hadn't lost that.
I've reviewed
an item tracker called Tile. And Tile has a global lost and found network, right? So if I have the Tile app installed on my phone and I walk past someone's lost item with a Tile attached, it will ping my phone and my phone will ping the Tile lost items network and tell the user where their Tile was seen. This is a really, really good feature of Tile because it means anyone who's using Tile can actually help you find your item. While, if you use some other Bluetooth item tracker, it has to go past your device in order for you to find it. So you only have a few hundred feet of range. What this means, is that in areas where Tile is not very well known or not very popular or just, doesn't have very good coverage, that you're not going to be able to find your items. So I thought it was really interesting this week to see that Tile has extended its lost item network into thousands of US homes by partnering with Comcast's Xfinity broadband services. So Comcast's boxes that they place in your house will now form part of Tile's lost item network. So if you lose something, your Comcast Xfinity device might be able to tell you where it is or who stole it.
Okay, that's...
So basically, the reason I put this in is actually, if you are going to start stealing things, don't subscribe to the Comcast Xfinity service.
Because right.
people will probably find out that you've stolen their stuff.
Right. One thing that I do have for news that I just remembered about is a story that we saw while we were in America about drones.
Oh, yes, go on. I love a good drone story.
I'll just drone on
about
it.
They go on and on.
Yeah. I'll just drone on about this for a little while.
Yeah.
Because they're talking about using drones for delivery of medical things.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of talk about using drones to deliver things in general, but yeah, medical things, cool.
Well, with medical things, you often have a set place where things get delivered. Think in
terms of a hospital.
To a hospital, think in terms of blood deliveries.
Yeah.
or medication deliveries, and they might go to a particular pharmacy or to a hospital or to a doctor, and there's no randomness about where this stuff is being delivered.
So are you just saying, like, most helicopters are about to get a little mini helipad in, next to the main helipad on the roof?
Well, possibly,
it's
yes.
It's going to hit the D-pad.
Yes, yes, yes. It is. It was quite an interesting story that we saw. And, you know, for things like medical emergencies, you know, using drones to get blood to an accident site, for instance, can be quite an effective way of getting an urgent delivery somewhere where it's needed.
Well, it might be easier
needed.
Than waiting for the chopper to turn up and pick things up and then figure out how to, you know, hover over the site and lower things. And that sounds good.
They were talking about, I think it was about a 40 or 50-minute flight time as well. They've got to change some regulations because at the moment the regulations, and I'm talking America, the regulations are that the drone must always be within line of sight of the operator.
We have a similar rule
here
as well.
Yes, we do. But, of course, drones have been in use in war zones for quite some time, and that has not been applicable.
They're usually outside of the States.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Usually, but not always.
Well, yeah, they try to.
Yeah, I thought that was a rather interesting piece of news.
Yeah. Look, you know, we always like a bit of drone news, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
You know what else we like?
Tell me.
iPhone rumors. Some of us like iPhone rumors anyway. Alex isn't here, so I thought I should do it.
Okay, so this is the iPhone X going bye-bye, is it?
No, the iPhone X, iPhone X, whatever. The iPhone X is going to get a big brother this year, apparently, in the form of the iPhone X Plus. That is the rumor that we're hearing for later this year. And apparently it will support a stylus for input, or probably more likely to be an Apple Pencil.
Okay.
Yeah.
Carry on.
That's it. That's the iPhone rumor.
Right.
Do you use Gmail? I don't know if you do.
I do use Gmail. Mm,
did you notice that there's a new look Gmail this week?
Well, actually, I haven't really been using a computer in the last week.
No, fair enough. So Google has rolled out a new look for Gmail.
Right.
It's got a fresh coat of paint. We've been hearing that Google is going to introduce a thing called Material Design 2. At Google I.O. next month, mainly for Android, but also for web, because Material Design is the company's design language. The new Gmail looks a lot like the Material Design 2 stuff that we've seen leaked, and it also has a few new features. There's sidebar apps so that you can actually look at your you can look at your calendar, look at your task list, and look at your Google Keep notes without leaving Gmail.
So this is going to be Outlook for Gmail.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Okay. Just thought I'd clarify that.
And it's gonna have an interesting thing called a confidential mode. So you'll be able to send an email to someone and mark it as confidential, and they will, assuming that they're using Gmail as well, not be allowed to forward it, they won't be allowed to save it, and they won't be allowed to copy it. However, they could probably still just point a phone at the screen and take a photograph.
Of course they could.
Yeah. Along with that, there's a few other things. Some features from Inbox are making their way over to Gmail, like the ability to snooze emails and the ability to remind you to respond to emails that Gmail thinks that you need to reply to.
Okay. So that one is going to be very
interesting. You're going to switch that off immediately. I know.
How did you know that one?
I could just hear you arcing up.
Indeed.
Do we have time for one more story?
We certainly do.
All right, I'm going to talk about Nintendo for a bit. I know you'll drift off, but Nintendo having a good year. They've sold 17 million Switch devices, and their profits.
And you've bought every single one of them.
I have a stockpile of Switches,
including profits, the ones that have been hacked.
Well, that's the later part of the story. The profits of Nintendo are up 500%. They're having a great year. They're going gangbusters, and it's in the midst of this. They've decided to announce a new CEO.
Oh, okay.
So their current CEO has said that...
they're
switching CEOs.
This is the big Nintendo Switch.
yeah, right up the top. The new CEO taking over for the old CEO. The new CEO is 46 years old. His name is Shuntaro Furukawa, and he is the executive in charge of corporate planning. Sounds really boring. He's not actually a game developer, but he is apparently an avid game player. A couple of other points for Nintendo. They are also taking a greater investment in mobile development. There is a Mario Kart game coming to mobile soon, and we're expecting to see more Nintendo franchises appear on mobile as well, and that news seems to point to that. And as you pointed out, some hackers have gotten inside the Switch. Technically, they've gotten inside...
That was very cramped in there, I believe.
Look, it's very compact.
Yes.
Technically, they've gotten inside the Tegra processor that powers the Switch, or the not the processor, but the Tegra infrastructure that powers the Switch, because there is actually a flaw in the bootloader. The bootloader is designed to never be changed after it leaves the factory.
Indeed.
So no Switch device that is out there today can actually be patched to defend it from this this flaw. You have to short a USB wire on one of the right Joy-Cons, and then suddenly you can execute arbitrary code, which means you can run whichever game you like on the Switch from wherever, whichever storage form you like, whether it be legitimate or otherwise. But also it opens up a very... It opens up the possibility of running homebrew games that developers who don't have a relationship with Nintendo might be able to write themselves for Switch.
Indeed. Very, very interesting. That's very interesting indeed.
It's always interesting when Nintendo consoles get hacked.
One other thing, and this is not quite a Nintendo console hack. However, some researchers at MIT have developed a... And you love this because we're combining the Nintendo and the drone stories now.
Nintendrone,
yes. Mm-hmm. They've developed a fish drone. This is a fish that swims. It is a drone. Mm-hmm. This is serious. Mm-hmm. And it goes...
I like how you said that because I'm smiling, but yes.
Yes. it moves in a similar way to a real fish. And it looks sort of similar to a real fish.
Except it's a Switch.
Except that it is a drone.
Mm.
And it underwater, it can make images of things that might otherwise be frightened by the sight of a person with a camera.
Right.
And it is controlled by somebody using a modified Switch controller.
I wonder how they modified it.
Well, to start off.
No. You said it's the controller. So the controllers are just Bluetooth devices. That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. They're actually using optical on it. And of course, they've had to waterproof it.
Yeah. Right.
But, when you see this thing moving in the water, it moves, the way a fish does with, wiggling its backside, so to speak.
I look forward to seeing the BBC use it for Planet Earth 3.
It is.
Just get.
It is really a very interesting and very cool use. Or abuse of the technology.
Let's get Mr. Adam a voiceover on it.
Indeed.
It's amazing. The fish doesn't suspect we're a camera.
Yes. Well, it's actually gotten images of fish that have not been able to be photographed before. So that is pretty bloody
good. They're like vampires. They disappear sharks. In front of the mirror. Sharks. I've seen photos of sharks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you seen a photo of every single shark?
Probably.
Shark, you not Stark.
You don't know what I browse online.
That is...
Only the FBI agent in my computer knows what I browse online.
That is actually very true.
My phone's just blinked at me three times. That's the signal from the FBI that I'm correct.
And speaking, of course, of the FBI and browsing your computer, remember 3 or 4 years ago when the government was trying to pass the legislation?
Awkward.
And... Yeah. They were only going to restrict the legislation for looking at our devices.
Yep.
Only to people who had a warrant.
Mm-hmm.
And what news have we seen come out just in the last 24 hours?
That's all rubbish. Of course it was. We knew it was rubbish.
Who would have thought that the government was going to, dare I use the word, mislead us?
I don't think you're allowed to say mislead.
You don't think I'm allowed to?
No.
Oh.
No, because my phone just blinked at me when you said it. And
Is there a better word than mislead I can use?
Mm.
No, she's not paying attention.
Falsify.
Falsify? I will. I'm not going to use the word lie. I refuse to use the word lie.
Dude, you should probably let sleeping dogs lie.
I should let sleeping dogs lie. And instead we will... Oh, well, there you go. That was a good segue. Because...
Mm-hmm. I don't even know what song you've got, you got queued up, but I reckon it's a good segue.
It is a good segue. It's always a good one. It is. We saw security guards on segways in shopping malls in the US.
Well, their name Paul Blart?
I don't know. Huh. I didn't ask them. But that was a good segue too. But you'll find dogs, performing dogs in circuses.
Oh, I don't know where this is going.
You don't at all. Neither do I. No. This is the Flying Circus. And Hayride.
My mama said we would love it. Something we did long ago. Oh, oh, now. Never could get enough of it. We grab a wagon and go, go, go. And take a hayride, meet at the park. We're gonna leave after dark. You're gonna love it, I know. Oh, oh.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM, 88.1 on the FM band, and we are on the internet at radio2rdj.com. How are we today? You like that? Did you see what I did there?
It was a very nice segue. Yes, we are talking about a
Segways.
Huawei phone.
Oh, we're not a Segway phone, a Huawei phone?
A Huawei phone.
Okay, can you segue into the Huawei phone?
I think you just did.
Okay.
Cool. I have in my hand the Huawei P20 Pro.
That looks like your leg. Oh, the other hand. I'm sorry.
The other hand. My leg's not in my hand. This phone is particularly hot.
The mind boggles.
Yeah. This phone is particularly hot at the moment. The Huawei P20 Pro has made quite a splash around the world when it was launched.
Which helps cool it off.
Yes.
Right.
Not actually, you know, it hasn't run hot, but yeah. It's been quite well regarded since its release. It hit Europe sometime this month. Not sure entirely when, but I do have to say thank you to Huawei for taking me to Paris for the launch of the device as well, because I was able to get some stunning photographs on it. It has three cameras on the back of it, and
Hold it up so the listener can see.
There you go. It's looking straight into the microphone now.
Right.
There are three cameras on the back of this phone. And also, we should just mention the back of this phone is absolutely gorgeous.
It's got this very shiny and slippery.
It is, in fact, very shiny and very slippery. It does like to fall off things. It needs to go in a case. I really need a case for this phone.
Which makes you wonder, why do they make it so slippery?
Do you know why? Because they put a case in the box.
Right.
Yes. So there's three cameras on this phone. There is a 20 megapixel monochrome sensor. There's a 40 megapixel RGB sensor.
40 megapixels.
40 megapixels.
Right.
That's quite useful for something that we'll talk about in a minute. And there's an 8 megapixel telephoto sensor that can accomplish 3x optical zoom.
Right.
So what this means is that the camera has a few tricks up its sleeve. It can take astonishingly good photographs in the dark, where it can actually bring up some light sources that the naked eye cannot see, and in its actual night mode, it performs bracketed shots, bracketed exposure shots, like a real camera would perform HDR.
Right,
and it lends this really surreal sort of movie-like, kind of dreamlike sense to the photographs that it brings out, because the light is so evenly distributed. You don't get a blowout in particular areas where there's a bright light, because it's exposed that light to a lower setting, and the lower lights have been exposed.
How many
upwards.
Images for the HDR3?
It depends on the scene that it's looking at. I've seen it take up to 6.
Ooh, okay.
It's actually pretty neat, and I should also mention that the triple camera system is actually developed by Leica. And okay. So
I like that too.
I like it a lot. Some of the photographs that this phone has taken have been absolutely astonishing. Some of them have been astonishingly bad as well, because sometimes it does hunt for a bit of focus in the dark, and sometimes you have to give it a little bit of a helping hand and tell it what you want it to focus on.
Right.
Auto mode, shoots amazing photographs during the day, that you don't really get points for that anymore. I think every camera takes good photographs during the day. But what this phone can do during the day in its auto mode is it uses a system called Master AI to analyze your photograph, analyze what it's coming in the viewfinder, and recommend some scene changes to run different modes for what you're taking a photograph of.
Right.
Sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's annoying. I'm going to err on the side of it being useful for now, but I would prefer that it would suggest a mode rather than switching to that mode.
Okay,
so
yes.
So I prefer to remain in control of the system.
You know where I would be on that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Barrel.
And so I'm always interested to see, especially when the device has no internet connection, because it makes it obvious that it's actually doing this on your device. If I point the photo at my dog, it says, dog. Cool, I'm going to change the scene settings for a dog. I don't know how it changes the scene settings for a dog. What I do know is that if you point it at the sky, it'll say, hey, blue sky, and it'll amp up the blue saturation on that photograph to give you a more surreal blue sky.
Is that actually what you want it to do?
I think sometimes it is, because sometimes people shooting for some systems like Instagram, or just shooting to share photographs on Facebook, if you are shooting a photo of the sky, you probably do want to do that. But you also have options as well. You can turn on vivid color mode to get a similar effect without
Who
necessarily washing
photo
it out.
Of just the sky.
Have a look.
Unless you're a weather.
If you have a look at the wallpaper on the system, there you go. There's a photograph of the sky.
Okay.
That is a photograph that I took. I stuck the phone to the window of the plane when I was flying to Melbourne last week.
It's actually a photo of the clouds seen from the plane.
There's sky in there.
There is.
There's sky in there. Don't ruin my moment.
I'm sorry.
Okay. One of the other things that the AI smarts of the phone allows you to do is face unlock, which I actually just demonstrated to you just then. Unlike most other phones' face unlock systems, it works at any angle. So a lot of phones like
the S8.
The Oppos, the S8, the S9, and the iPhones.
It's iris recognition rather than...
No.
On the S8 it is.
Oh, so on the S9 it does face recognition, but it's not... Actually, it's not very good on the S9, but... the great thing about Huawei is that you can actually hold the phone at any angle and it will unlock. And it's actually the only phone with face unlock that I've ever seen do that.
And it actually works?
It does. It works. It actually works really well.
Okay, that's good.
It's not fooled by my glasses. There is one other thing that we should talk about with the phone.
And that is?
It's got a notch in its display.
I'm
You're suddenly less interested. What if I told you that
in
the phone, because it's got a notch. Yeah. What if I told you that you can actually disguise the notch by turning the top bar of the screen where the notch digs in black, and so you can actually choose to hide the notch by having this black area at the top. So essentially your notification and your system information, it hovers above your normal screen. And so you hide the notch by sort of shortening the screen and keeping the notifications up there permanently.
I think that is an excellent idea.
I think it's quite a nice trade-off. I really like the look that it gives me.
I wouldn't like to find that does notch have that feature.
Very nice.
You like that one?
Yeah.
You can have it.
Good.
I'll let you use that in your written review if you like.
Very good. Thank you. Quick roundup of some other stuff with it. It ships
very
with,
quick.
Ships with Android Oreo. It's using Android 8.1. We talked about the face unlock. It's pretty good. I do think Huawei needs to be a little bit more forthcoming on the update front and tell us what they plan to do with the phone. But we sort of have to wait and see on that. I'm going to give it 4.5 grills out of 5.
Okay, that there sounds good. That sounds good. This is Max Merritt and A Little Easier.
Living a lie.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet, streaming all over the place at radio2rdj.com. Now, I haven't just been playing with a Huawei P20 Pro.
No, you have not.
I've been playing with a Galaxy S9 for a little while as well.
Indeed.
And my Galaxy S9, I believe the Galaxy S9 Plus comes with a case in the box, like many phones these days, but the Galaxy S9 does not, which means that you're probably going to want to put a case on it and protect it, because, like the P20 Pro, it is slippery and will
So there's fall a good off. Case for getting a case?
Yes, just in case.
Just in case, yes. Okay.
So I've been taking a look at some cases, and for me they fall into three categories. There's simple cases that just sort of add a bit of a layer of protection and grip to your phone.
Right.
And for me, that's the 360 PureFlex, which is just a very, very, very plain see-through case that just sits the phone in it quite comfortably, and it gives it a lot of much-needed grip, because the S9 really needs a bit of extra grip to sit in the hand. Pelican, the guys who make really hard roadie cases for yep. long trips and bands and stuff, they've also started making phone cases, and they've got a similar case that's got a hard shell with a sort of a black rubber hard outline to it, and That one I enjoyed, but I felt like it added a little bit more bulk
right.
to the phone than I would have liked to otherwise see. Now, I don't use folio cases. I like to be able to see my phone screen at all times.
Some people say they're a bad idea because you throw your credit cards in there and a few other things and you lose your phone and you lose everything.
Well, I use Google Pay on my phone these days, so I don't need my credit cards in there. But 360 also makes folio cases. They have the Slim Folio and the Neo case. Now, the Slim Folio case is just a single one-piece case that's sort of a piece of soft-touch rubber.
Right.
Whereas the Neo case has a bit of leather around it, and you can actually remove the phone inside the cradle that you put the phone into. It connects to the case magnetically, and you can also get other Neo accessories from 360, like car mounts.
Well, so we spoke about this the other day. The car mount, which is a very simple mount, goes on the
But so what you do with that is that you can get the Neo case, and you can use the magnetic case from that to connect into the car mount.
Very sensible. Yep.
Do you drop your phone very much?
I don't.
I try not to. If you are someone who is known for dropping their phone quite a lot and it needs quite a lot of protection, you might want to look at an OtterBox Defender. This case actually comes in three parts, and it has a protective rubber surface. It's got hard rubber around it, and it even has port covers to really actually add even more waterproofing to the phone. Now, I really quite like OtterBox. OtterBox's cases are pretty good, but the Defender, to me, adds a little bit too much bulk. I actually have the 360 PureFlex on the phone at the moment, and it adds just enough grip, and it doesn't destroy that phone's good looks.
Okay, excellent. This is The Beatles and Ticket to Ride. Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
You got a hype guy.
The internet.
You got a hype guy.
I have.
Yeah, he's
that's Troy, actually.
Oh, hi, Troy. I do have a useless gadget.
Please do. We'll have Troy in the background.
Useless gadget is the American taxation system.
Oh, okay.
The IRS.
Well, you realise that the 15th of April is tax day in the US.
Yep.
And that was delayed this year because it was a Sunday until Tuesday, the 17th of April. That
funnily
was
enough,
your taxes were due.
Funnily enough, do you know what happened on the 17th of April?
Tell me.
The IRS online payment system had a planned outage.
On the busiest day of the year.
And if you attempted to sign in on the 17th of April, then it would direct you to a page called the unplanned outage page,
right?
Which advertised that there was a planned outage from April the 17th, 2018, to December 31st, 9999.
Right.
So if you didn't pay your taxes before that outage started, you have to wait 8,000 years to do it.
That's pretty useful.
That's also how long we're going to have to wait to see Trump's tax returns.
Indeed. Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. Well, as we're speaking right now in New Orleans, I'm upset that I'm not there because it is Jazz Fest time.
Uh-huh.
And so from...
This explains our background music.
It explains the background music, indeed. This is Troy Andrews, Trombone Shorty. From 2008, I think it is, Jazz Fest. This is St. James Infirmary. Enjoy. I'm the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I'm apparently the faceplant, Kid Murray.
Yeah, you are indeed. You're not going to lose that one for a while, mate. You have been listening to The Gadget Grill and to RDJFM, and we will be back. Well, someone will be back next week, I'm sure.
We're not sure who'll be here, but we're just going to like... someone will draw the short straw.
Indeed, indeed. Take care, Australia.